Well, if you open your Bibles up to Isaiah chapter 41, we will eventually complete the Ten Commandments study. We've got one more commandment left, but I would like to take us to Isaiah 41, a very familiar verse, verse 10. And I was going to read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to read verse 10, and we'll go back to the context as I preach through this sermon. A little bit about Isaiah. It's a what some theologians call it a miniature Bible. There's 66 chapters in Isaiah, and coincidentally, there's 66 books in the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And the first 39 chapters, just like the Old Testament, is predominantly about God's judgment. Now, we always have the wonderful promises of salvation and forgiveness all throughout the Old Testament, but it's predominantly about God's judgment. And that's the same for Isaiah. The first 39 chapters speak of judgment. But the final 27 chapters, just like the New Testament, the 27 books in the Bible, the final 27 chapters speak of hope and salvation. And so that's why a lot of pastors will call this a miniature Bible, Isaiah. This was my mother's favorite book in the Bible. She loved Isaiah. And she, her favorite verse in Isaiah is just Isaiah 54, where this became her favorite verse when God took my father to heaven. My mom would read this verse almost every day, Isaiah 54, verse 5. And it says, "For your Maker," speaking of God, speaking of Christ, our Maker, "is your husband." My mom really did cling to that when the Lord took an important man out of her life, is that the Lord God is my husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Not just her husband, but the one that has purchased her with his blood, the one who has saved her from her sin. And she just loved the book of Isaiah. And you've noticed in this worship service, we've had a lot of Isaiah in this worship service. And we will do this as well with verse number 10 in chapter 41. So this is the word of the Lord. And God says to us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these commands. But we thank you more importantly for the pillars that they stand upon. Lord, these commands stand upon the pillar of the fact that you're our God and you will strengthen us and you will help us and you will uphold us with your righteous right hand. Help us to understand that more as your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As a child, my greatest fear was Gertrude. My dad, like Dr. Gordon Reed, was a ventriloquist. I always have trouble with that word, ventriloquist. And this was a very scary doll in my life. She had to be at least this tall if her legs were hanging down. And Dad would hold her and his hand would go in her back. And he would do children's messages with her and scare people to salvation, I think. But she talked like this, "Hello, boys and girls." Isn't that horrible? And sometimes my dad would get real deep. "How are you doing?" And it's just a horrible contrast. She had too much makeup on. She had her hair parted and braided. It was just a nightmare for me as a child. I dreamed about her every night. And I think my dad realized how much damage he'd done with her in my life that he eventually threw her away, which I'm sad I don't have here to show you. But I was very scared of Gertrude, but as I grew older, I realized Gertrude couldn't hurt me, and I moved on from Gertrude. The last 2 years, I've had two big fears come upon me. One was, the first one I'll just share with you 2 years ago, was when the Lord called me here to be a senior pastor. I've been a pastor. I was ordained in the ministry in 2008, 2007, and I felt the weight of that, but I never felt the weight like I felt when coming to New Harmony, being the only solo teaching elder in the church, where before I'd been at some churches a little bit bigger, and they had several pastors to bear that burden. And that was a comfort to me. It was a comfort that there were other men preaching God's word to the people, not just me. And God had made it clear to me He was calling me to that, and that's why I'm here. But it was scary to me to come and be the pastor here, and with my insecurities and my flaws and my deficiencies, which is true for any pastor, but maybe more so for me. The other fear that came upon me was March 3rd. Y'all have heard the story, some of you. Actually, it was 12 o'clock March 4th where Hart came to our door and knocked on the door and said that Karis had been in a wreck. And automatically I started thinking, well, what kind of wreck? Was it a fender bender? What was it? And within minutes, I called Karis's number, and a trooper picked up the phone and explained to me what the wreck was. And I had never felt a fear like that. With all the truth I knew. And the ride was horrible. And y'all said that to me. That ride was bad, wasn't it? It was horrible. And some of you have been through it. Some of you have been through it where you've had to drive to your child who had something happen to them that was scary or tragic. And I was speechless in fear. I didn't leave my wife. I said, "Right, Linda, here's what we got to do. Let's read the verses. Let's read the verses." All I could do was say, "Help me, Lord. Help us. Help my Karis. Be with her." And I just sigh. And Linda was sitting there, just collapsed in the chair. And when we stopped to use the restroom, she could hardly even walk in. We were so struck with fear of what this meant for the Sanders family, what this meant for our daughter Karis. And the Lord, through the process, put before me in that ride of everything He could take from me in regards to this event. And He had been right and good to do it. It's still been good. But He had mercy on me. I don't know why. I'm undeserving of it. I'm not better than anybody else. He had mercy upon Karis. She didn't deserve it. We know the Bible well enough to know what we deserve. But God is awesome. That song that we sang, His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect in all our anxieties, in all our fears. His strength is perfect. And He goes out of His way to say, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, my people. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." What's your greatest fear right now? What are you most anxious about? This is one of those verses for you mothers and fathers, for you grandparents, for you teachers of the word, that should be passed on from generation to generation to those who love the Lord. A verse that is similar to that to me is in Joshua chapter 1. And when I first left home for the ministry, this was a verse that I would read and would be my verse, and in some ways became the verse that I would say is my life verse, especially in light of what God's called me to all these years. And I always was fascinated by war, and here's Joshua taking over the people of God, and they're supposed to go into the promised land and conquer all these great nations. And God says to him in verse 5 toward the end of it, I will be with you, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. He repeats it again in verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that we may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. It repeats that same verse is repeated in Isaiah. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I've shared with you how God has revealed to me how he was with me in this whole process with Karis's wreck. But it's not just those tragic moments, those scary moments that he's with us. He says, I'll always be with you. I'll always be with you. And sometimes it's the scary moments that really push us to realize he's with us. We have this false thought that, okay, God, I'm with you right now in this tragedy. Pray for this loved one. Pray for this person that's hurting. We're seeing the power of your prayer. And then when things go well, we say, okay, I'll see you later, God. Thank you for the help. Maybe later. You can help me again. But that's not the truth with God's people. For those who belong to Christ Jesus, God's saying, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He gives us 5 reasons in this text not to be afraid. He says, I am with you, for I am with you. And then he gives us the second one. He says, I'm your God. This is I am. The only true God there is. He's saying, I'm yours. It's not only corporately to us people, but it's individually to us as a people. I'm your God, David Hart Sanders. I'm your God if you put your trust in Christ and you've been purchased by his blood and you belong. You're no longer your own, but you belong to him. And then the third comfort to give us on do not be afraid reason to not be afraid is I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you for things you don't think you're strong for. Y'all, I bear testimony of my wife, and I saw her in the car, and I'm thinking, okay, I need you. I need you to be strong. While I'm just weak as can be, I need you to be strong. And I'm thinking that, and I've got to have you be strong. And it's amazing to see the girl who couldn't even walk into walk into the bathroom at the gas stop to be the stronger of the two in the process. Every day I'll talk to Linda and I can hear her frailty in her voice, and I'll call and I say, how's it going, Linda? And I hear her frailty and she said, well, it was a tough night. It was hard. You know, Karis is just, she was up all night in pain and it was just very difficult. And then by the end of the day, Linda texted me and she said, today was a great day. I'm like, how did you get there? I even texted her this morning. How did you get to it was a great day? How did you get from not having any sleep the night before and Karis being miserable in her pain? How did you get there from it's a great day? And I'm watching the Lord strengthen her in the Word, strengthen her in the strategic visits that come her way that he's placed in her life. God says, I will help you in this text in verse 10. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All throughout the scripture, it talks about God's righteous right hand guiding us, holding us fast, moving us through these trials and tribulations. And many of you can attest to it much more than I can. Some of you would say, David, what you're going through, that's hard. That's baby stuff to what I've gone through. That's small. And I would agree with you. These 5 pillars of fearlessness that God gives us in this verse, this pillar of God is with David Hart Sanders. I have been purchased by the blood of Christ. I'm not mine. I belong to him. He's with me. He's my God. He will strengthen me when I need it. And I need it every moment of my life. He will help me in those troubles. He will uphold me. And I've seen Him do that. I've seen Him do it in all kinds of ways. I've seen Him do it through New Harmony Presbyterian Church. I've seen Him do it through people I haven't talked to in 20 years. I've seen Him do it through the doctor who does the surgery, the man who saved and the wife who saved my daughter's life. I've seen God use people to do this. And that's wonderful that He would even incorporate us in that, but He doesn't need us. He doesn't need to bless. He doesn't need us to carry out His plan. We think of this fear that we deal with, and I feel like I'm becoming more aware of it, or it's growing in our society, probably both. That there's more and more people that I love and know that deal on a constant basis with anxiety, with a heavy fear looming over them. And God says to you, He says to me, He says to us, do not be afraid. And He gives us these pillars of why we should not be afraid. See, God never gives us a command without the backing of it. He could just say, don't be afraid, and then leave it at that. But He gives us all the reasons in this verse not to be afraid. And so it's important when He says things like, hey, do not be afraid, I'm with you. I am your God, that we know who He is. And if you look earlier in the passage, you'll see some description of who He was. Look in verse 1 of chapter 41. Keep silence before me, O coastlands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near me, then let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. What do we learn about God in that verse where with this verse 10 falls? He's saying, come plead your case. Come stand before me. I think of Micah 6, and you've got this trial scene, and y'all heard me speak about that from the pulpit before, this trial scene where he says, oh, plead your case, O Israel, but you've got a case against, God has a case against His people. And here he says, hey, you come plead your case. I'm the judge. And so we learn something about God when we say, why am I not to be afraid? Well, this says, I'm the judge of the people. And I'm telling you not to be afraid because I'm with you and I'm for you. And I've saved you, I've redeemed you, I've purchased you. We see this God gives us these glimpses all throughout Scripture. He gives us several glimpses of who He is in this text. He says, who raised up from the east, who in righteousness called Him to His feet, who gave the nations before Him and made Him ruler over kings, who gave them is the dust to His sword, as the dust to His sword is driven stubble to His bow, who pursued them and passed safely by the way that He had not gone with His feet. Well, what is he talking about here? I believe in my study of this text, he's talking about Cyrus. 150 years before he rises up. Not only is this glimpse of God as the judge who calls the shots on our judgment, he's the one in those verses that we just read that's the ruler of all rulers. Isn't that a comfort to us as we're afraid sometimes of who's going to lead us, who's going to rule over us? Well, God says, look, don't be afraid. I rule over all them. I'm going to bring Cyrus to conquer Babylon. The Persian king that God stirred up to come against Babylon, whom he, God, calls in righteousness to His feet. He delivers up nations before him and subdues kings. He makes them like dust with His sword. This is a picture of God. It's a glimpse of God rising up leaders, and that ought to make us excited about praying about our next leaders that God would bring up, and not just our next leaders, the ones who lead us now. It's God who rules over them. He's the ruler of all rulers. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He raises up, He tears down. He said, don't be afraid. I'm the one who judges. Don't be afraid. I'm the one who rises up kings and crushes them. You see in verse 4, you see who has performed and done it, calling the generation from the beginning, I the Lord am the first, and with the last I am He. You see that term, I am. I am the I am. The same term He used with Moses, but I am the first and the last. No one created me. We see that the one who raises up the generations from the beginning. He's the uncreated first, and he will be there with the last. This word Jehovah is used in this passage, or Yahweh. One commentary says it's the full meaning of the name Jehovah, which is unfolded here before us in this text. For God is called Jehovah as the absolute I, the absolute free being, pervading all history and yet above all history, as he who is Lord of his own absolute being, in revealing which he is purely self-determined, in a word, as the unconditional, free, and unchangeable eternal personality. That's our God. He said, don't be afraid. I'm the one who judges. I'm the one who rises up leaders and crushes leaders. I'm the one who rules over all rulers. And I'm the first and the last. I have no one who created me. I exist in myself. I've always existed. And then you look at verse 5 through 7 in Isaiah 41. Read that with me. The coastland saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and came. Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smooths with a hammer inspired him who strikes with an anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. Then he fastens it with pegs that it might not totter. You see in this passage how God has chosen his people. He's the one who's brought them together. He's the one who's established them. But you, O Israel, in verse 8, are my servants, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I've taken from the ends of the earth and called from the farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. You see what God's saying in this, he gives us all this catalyst of not fearing. He says, I'm the one who judges. I'm telling you not to be afraid. I'm the one who rules over rulers. Don't be afraid. I'm the one who has always been and always will be. And I am the one who chose you as my people, as my servants. He's saying to us in this text, as he says, do not be afraid. He's saying, know who I am. If you're struggling in fears, you run to the Scriptures. You run to the Scriptures and say, God, show me, help me to believe what the Word says about who you are. You're the one who raises up. You're the one who calls. You're the one who gives nations and make them exist. You are the one who makes, handouts victories in war and pursues and performs. You're the one who does all these things. You're the one who comes with judgment but also comes with salvation. You're the one who chooses us and has this covenantal relationship with us and gathers us and calls us his own. Got to know God. We got to know God and grow in our knowledge of who he is, and this is the process that he's doing in us. We've got to know what he has promised. I've shared with y'all before, I'll share with you again, when my mother was dying on her deathbed, she had a crumpled up sheet of paper with all these promises of God that she kept filling her mind with as she was at the gates of death, approaching that. See, these glimpses of God intensifies these five pillars of his promises. I'm your God. I'm with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you and I will uphold you. And therefore the commands, in light of these things, because I'm the judge of nations, because I have made rulers in histories, because I call nations into beings, because I choose freely my own, because I'm great and I'm the sovereign God who is your God and is with you and strengthens you and helps you and upholds you, therefore do not fear. In light of all this, do not fear. It's important to know who God is in order for us to address the fears that we have, and it's important for us to know who we are. Do you know who you are? What's your identity in? One of my prayers that I'd ask y'all to pray for Karis is don't just pray for her physically. I'd actually like you to pray more for her spiritually. The Lord's at work in her. But I pray that Kyrus' identity is not in a good hip, is not in a good shoulder, is not in how beautiful she looks in a bathing suit with a scar. It's not in what all the people say or who likes her and who doesn't like her. It's not based on any faithfulness of man or woman. But that she would know her identity in Christ Jesus. She would see her beauty in Christ Jesus. She would see that this is the way I was. This is what I deserve. And that she would see Christ Jesus for who He is and what He's done. Isn't it a beautiful thing when you meet somebody like that whose confidence comes from Christ and not from the circumstances they're in? Whose confidence comes from the beauty they have in Christ Jesus, not in their beauty on this earth? Isn't it a beautiful thing? Isn't that what makes the saints that we miss so much so beautiful to us, not just spiritually but physically? We see them and they have a beauty to them because they have this confidence and their identity is in Christ Jesus. Think of most of your fears. Most of your fears are about people. Most of your fears are about how they're going to treat you and are they going to stay committed to me? Karis's greatest obstacle for her is coming back to live with us. That's going to be the hardest thing for Karis. It's going to be more hard. It's going to be harder than her hip. It's going to be harder than her shoulder, harder than her pelvic, harder than not being able to move around. It's going to be, I'm not with the people I get my identity from. And I think the Lord's doing a mighty work in her. And there's conversations that Linda, I can't imagine anybody I want more in that room with her than Linda. I'm going to botch it up tonight when I'm with her. I get grumpy when I see my daughter hurt. But Linda's just been having these wonderful conversations that we probably never would have had with Karis if it wasn't for this providential wreck. We're the ones over here that should be afraid. But God says, don't be afraid because you're over here. You're righteous, you're holy, you're without fault. Because of my son Jesus, you've surrendered your life to Him. He is Lord of your life. You're a work in process to become more and more like Him. I'm going to do that in you. Don't be afraid. I'm going to close for the sake of Sunday school. Isaiah repeats this again in chapter 43. And instead of reading you chapter 43, I'm going to do something I'm fearful to do, but I'm going to do it. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And the waves will not overcome you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. For I am the Lord your God. For I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. And the flames, they will not consume you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. For I am the Lord your God. For I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Father, you are the Lord, and we shall not fear. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and for those here today who've not surrendered their life to Christ, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit that comforts us believers, that gives us the strength to endure, that your Holy Spirit would overcome them with the truths of the gospel that they've heard or that they will hear more specifically when they pursue the conversations with their pastor or with ruling elders or with family members who know you, Lord, that you would bring them to Christ Jesus. So these promises that are here, they're not for everybody in this world, but for your people and your people alone. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you for them. Amen.